It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yes, voted as the best segment all week long that you have on the Homer Hour. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. I'm at Robert Hack Diamonds. This might be as good. 2-carat lab-grown stud earring, $700. And if you want to know about lab-grown or natural and all the things there, these are the people to talk to. Robert Hack Diamonds, Brookfield or Greenfield. But right now, I get to sit back, listen, and learn. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. Brian's nice, so he intros the segment.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. I just want a full disclosure. I voted for the segment I do with John Anderson. It's the best segment of the week. And then secondly, I'm just kidding. And secondly, I'm in Starbucks on Oneida Street. So if I sound like I'm talking like a golf announcer, it's because, well, we've got one at gymnastics practice. We got another one going to volleyball practice. So I'm staying over by Lambeau so I can shuttle the girls around. So I apologize if I sound like Brian Bulaga approaching the 17th tee. He's two shots back as he starts this hole. So anyway, how are you guys?
Doing good. So what do you got on the injury front? I mean, anyone returned to practice today that's been out, or what are you hearing with Dobbs and Jair, or what's been going on?
Yeah, so I talked to Jair today. It was for 30 seconds, so it was not super informational, but I did get a chance to ask him two questions. The first one was, how are you feeling, and do you expect to play on Sunday? And he said, I'm feeling better. It's a process. It is a process, you know? And I said, okay, well, are you getting your hopes up that you could play? Do you feel like you have a chance this week? He said, I have more of a chance this week than I had last week. So you had him as a teammate for 2 years. Can you translate that for me?
That doesn't sound too optimistic.
I might play, but don't think I'm going to play. Just assume I'm not playing.
Yeah. And then if I do play, be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, if I'm a betting guy, yes. I'm saying he's probably not playing, if I had to take a guess. But I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise us. Never know.
Maybe. Yeah. Edger and Cooper practiced for a second straight day. That's encouraging. He thinks he is going to play. Now, rookies, of course, you know, they always think they're going to play. But he did say he's ready to roll. You know, Evan Williams is still in the concussion protocol, so there's a chance that it could be Zane Anderson getting the start at safety, because Javon Bullard, although he has not officially been ruled out, he is not playing. He's week to week, as LaFleur said, and that's code for he ain't playing this week. So, but still, I think they're pretty darn healthy. You know, I mean, Romeo Dobbs was full again today for the second straight day, even though he's missed two games with a concussion, but he is still in the concussion protocol. So we can't say for certain that he's been cleared and that he's ready to go just yet.
Really? Still in the concussion for man. But he's practicing full, but he's still in the protocol for what? He's going on 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah, he suffered the concussion against San Francisco. Didn't play against Miami, didn't play against Detroit. And, you know, did you ever have a concussion during your playing days? A diagnosed one, I should say.
Yeah, I did.
So you know that, you know, the final hurdle is to be able to go through practice with heavy exertion and be able to come out of that and not feel any lingering effects of the concussion. And, you know, I would think that this would be an encouraging sign that he keeps being a full participant, and that on Friday they'll say he's been cleared and he'll be off the injury report. At least you would hope so, because if he misses a third straight game, that would worry me.
He's playing. Because if you have a bad concussion, you can't practice. You can't. It's so bad. They put him in dark rooms. You don't even remember where you are. You lose track of days. He's playing. Dr. Homer of concussions. No NFL concussions.
Jason, Did you by any chance get to talk to any of these offensive linemen? Because you and I discussed a little bit on your show Wednesday, kind of what these guys expect to go into on Wednesday, or not Wednesday, that's the day of your show, but expect to go in on Sunday with the crowd noise and this atmosphere in Seattle, since none of them have been there, none of them have played in it. Kind of expectations and how good they're going to have to be with their communication going in there.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I told you this when you were on our show yesterday, that like I was in the middle of talking with Elgton Jenkins when it dawned on me that he had never played there. Like, I feel like, especially during your career and my career to this point, like, I feel like we were in Seattle like all the time. Like, they were an honorary member of the NFC North. And instead, you know, it's been since 2018, as you know, because you pointed it out to me, that you did play in that game and you guys lost, which you did a lot of, unfortunately, during that 18 season. But, you know, I was talking to Elgton about it, and I keep going back to this. I even mentioned this to Steno, Adam Stenovich, Packers offensive coordinator today. Like, I thought he made such a good point a couple weeks ago going into Detroit saying, you know, essentially all of our road games have been like half and half, 50-50 Packers fans and the home fans. And the fact that, you know, they went into Detroit and had the issues that they did during the first quarter of getting off the snap late and giving up some pressures and a sack on Love, I feel very confident that they have spent this week saying, okay, we can't let that stuff happen again. So they, look, this is, as you well know from playing there, Brian, a very loud venue. It's as loud as probably most, if not all, indoor venues, and it doesn't have the advantage of the roof to bounce back the sound and keep it trapped inside the building. So, you know, the one guy that I didn't get to talk to yesterday or today that I want to talk to tomorrow is Josh Myers, who obviously is, you know, the guy who's in charge of the snap at center. And I, you know, I don't know how you saw him against Detroit. I mean, it looked to me like all those guys struggled in the first quarter and a half before they finally settled in. So, but he's a guy that they obviously need to play well and kind of keep that whole line under control in a very loud environment.
Yeah. And I don't know if you talked to LaFleur, if LaFleur mentioned anything about kind of getting these guys in a rhythm in an environment like that. I mean, you know, especially, yeah, you know, Sunday night football, huge stage, trying to get these guys to, you know, not, I mean, the worst thing you want to do, I mean, and you know this, Jason, I mean, you've seen us play there before, and the last thing you want to do is get this crowd riled up by going three and out and ending with a QB hit or a sack and getting this, that place buzzing. I mean, you want to stay on the field and make this thing simple and really drag out a drive to kill the crowd. So has he addressed anything about, you know, kind of keeping this thing basic or you know, kind of settling guys in, or is he keeping it pretty close to the vest about what they're looking to do?
Yeah, so I asked LaFleur just straight out, like, you know, how much have you challenged your offensive line and how much are they challenging themselves based on how they had played in Detroit? And you know, I got a fair amount of coach speak as he's frequently one to do. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the balancing act, like you said, the one thing you don't want to do is have the Seahawks win the toss and elect to defer. Because I don't know, maybe he would, but I don't think LaFleur, if he wins the toss, is going to want the ball first. I think he's going to want to say, hey, let's get our defense out there first. Let's get them to punt, and then our offense can get out there. I just don't think this is a place where, unless you're McCarthy trying to send a message, you necessarily want to take the ball first. But if let's say they, whatever happens, let's say somehow they end up with the ball first, I'll be honest, I would think the challenge for him is, okay, I kind of want to get my offensive lineman moving forward instead of backward. So let's run the ball on first down, hopefully get at least enough that I can run it again on second down. And then I've got a third and manageable on third down. The problem, as you just pointed out, is if you run it on first and second down, and then you're obviously throwing on third and five or third and four, if you don't connect on that, you've given them exactly what they want, is the three and out punt. So yep. I'll be curious to see what approach he takes, but that I thought was his mistake in Detroit was, you know the crowd's going to be riled up. And just because you were able to go up top on the first play last year on Thanksgiving and throw it deep and succeed, I didn't think you needed to do that again. Now, he would counter that by saying, hey, we had Reed open down the field on that opening play because Reed was going to be the target, which Lord knows he hasn't been the target a lot lately. But he, you know, they obviously gave up the pressure and never got the opportunity to get the ball out of Jordan's hands.
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
of Jaden Reed, I'd like both of you to comment, explain what's happened, what's going to happen. Is he as good as you thought? Because I still think he is, but I don't have any explanation for the ability for him to disappear, given how good he is.
Yeah, I would let Brian answer it primarily because he's way smarter than me, and he is a doctor after all. But I would just say this beforehand, I said this to Steno this afternoon, like, I feel like, okay, early on in the year, I'm asking you questions about Romeo's involvement in the offense after he no-showed for work. Then a couple weeks later, I'm asking you about Watson's role in the offense and why you're not getting him involved. I said, I don't want to be that guy that now asks you, why aren't you getting Jaden Reed more involved? But he, you know, I did anyway. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting that he said was, like, you know, in the flow of the game, they're not thinking about who are we not getting involved necessarily. So he gets to the end of the game. Jordan's thrown 20 passes. He's completed 12 of them. Jaden Reed draws a PI on the first drive. He has a tough graded drop on the second drive. And then he never sees the ball again. And Steno basically said, I looked down at the stat sheet after the game, and I didn't realize that he hadn't had a catch. And he basically said, look, we can't have that happening. Like, we have to have him more involved in that. But I don't think it's any sort of...
So translate that. What does that mean?
It means that they're that. Like the challenge, and again, I'll defer to Brian and I'll shut up here, but look, every play has a first, second, third read. Reed, R-E-A-D, not Jaden Reed, R-E-E-D. And they probably don't have him high enough in the progression frequently enough to have gotten him the ball, I would say. Brian, wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably part of it. And I think another part of it, too, is most likely personnel groupings and what personnel groupings he's on the field with. And with the emergence of the run game and what they like to do and what personnel groups they like to run the football out of, they like to run the football out of two tight end sets. That means there's only two wide receivers, and they like Watson and Wicks as the blocking receivers, which leaves Reed off the field. And then if they throw out of 12, those are the two receivers on the field with the two tight ends. And that's how it goes. And they're playing a lot of 12 right now, or they're using 12 personnel a lot. And that's kind of how it's shaken out, right? And you can't, I mean, now they can obviously go into this game and use Reed a lot in 12 personnel and change things up and break tendencies that teams are, you know, kind of scouting them on. They can always do that, which I expect them to do that a little bit. But it's all based on personnel groupings and where he's at, and do they want to work him more outside? I know, Jason, you said that they work him a lot, you know, in the slot. Do they want to work him outside a little bit more? Like, this is all depending on what they see best, you know, for the matchups and the route progression, so to speak. And, you know, he's a slot guy, right? And he's really good in the slot. But if the first progressions are the guys on the outside, maybe you bump him out there, right? Maybe he goes out there. But he's so dangerous on the inside, do you really want to move that guy? And that's where LaFleur and Steno kind of have to make a decision there. But I guess my thing is, too, Jason, and, you know, you kind of mentioned it. I mean, we kind of talked about this before the season started, right? Like, there's only one football on the field, right? Mm-hmm. This was going to come to a point in time this season that we were going to be talking about one of these guys not getting the football, and there was going to be an issue with it, right? Like, it started with Dobbs. Now it's with then it was Watson. Now Watson's getting it, and now it's with Reed.
Yeah, but I mean, this with Reed is with Dobbs out. that makes it even more bizarre. All right. Well, you guys both answered.
True.
So. All right, Jason, appreciate it. I know you find it hard to believe, but we're running a little late. However, this was one of the finest Jason Willie, Brian Bulaga segments. You ought to do Starbucks more often. Thanks.
Well, Brian sounded like he was going to say more, so nice work. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Yeah, and the great thing is Brian can say more in the next couple of minutes. I'm not too worried about that. All right, American Place Casino. I tell you all the time, it's 38 minutes, just a half hour south of Franklin. That's what I said, just a half hour. And everybody said, no, Homer, be specific. All right, exactly 38 minutes if you want to know. American Place Casino, located in Lake County, Illinois. Exciting table games, slot machines, got a sports book, great food, all their promotions, AmericanPlaceCasino.com. And what a deal. Oztacular countdown at American Place Casino this New Year's Eve. Kick off the celebration starting at 10 a.m. Get ready for live entertainment at 5 and a huge $50,000 cash and free play giveaway. $50,000. It's going to be an unforgettable night. Stay tuned for more details. Again, go to AmericanPlaceCasino.com. And this is the first time in which I haven't told you often enough. Just a half hour south of Franklin, American Place Casino. 38 minutes south of Franklin. To those comments from Brian Bulaga that he didn't get to sneak in before Jason was kicked off the show. Next.